Well, if we can turn to those verses we read a moment ago from Luke chapter 18. This morning I want us to look at one of our Lord's great miracles, the healing of the blind man in the town of Jericho. Mark in his gospel tells us that the blind man's name was Bartimaeus. Now, before we look at the miracle itself, I just want us very briefly to consider the background to the miracle. And we read in verses 31 to 34 how Jesus and his disciples were making their way to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going to Jerusalem for one very definite and specific purpose. He was going there in order to lay down his life as an offering for sin upon the cross. And we see that as Jesus and his disciples made that journey, it was very much the cross that dominated our Lord's thinking and our Lord's conversation. We read verse 31. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished." You see, there was nothing accidental about the cross. The cross had been foreordained in the eternal counsels of the Godhead even before time began. And the cross was something that the Old Testament prophets had spoken much about. And so Jesus says, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Now, of course, it's true to say that throughout our Lord's earthly life, the cross had always been on his mind. Even as a boy in Nazareth, even as a young man working in the carpenter's shop, Jesus always knew that his earthly life would finish with being crucified. Jesus always knew that. He was moving towards crucifixion. The most appalling, the most brutal, the most painful form of death you can possibly imagine. Jesus always knew that that was what the future held for him. Now, God in mercy has veiled our future from us. We don't know what the future holds, and that's a great blessing. But the Lord Jesus always knew. And as Jesus set out on this, his final journey to Jerusalem, the cross was now dominating his thinking with a far greater intensity than ever before. And we see here, Jesus spells out to his disciples exactly what is going to happen when he gets to Jerusalem. But the disciples, well, they just couldn't take it in. They found it all quite baffling. They were expecting the Messiah to conquer and to reign, not to suffer and die. And so we read verse 34. They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. But then we see in verse 35 that as they continued their journey, they came to Jericho. And there they were met by this blind man, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was sat by the roadside begging. Now, in those days, almost inevitably, blindness and begging went together. There was no welfare state. There were no charitable organizations as we know them today. And if a man was blind, he couldn't work. If he couldn't work, he'd no money to buy food. And therefore he was reduced to begging. And so in those days in Palestine, the blind beggar was a very common sight. And that's what Bartimaeus was doing here. He was blind, he was poor, he was begging. Well, can I suggest this morning that what was true of Bartimaeus in a physical sense is true of all men by nature in a spiritual sense. You see, by nature, before we come to Christ, we're all spiritually blind and we're all spiritually poor. Indeed, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And how true that is. You know, the story is told of an atheist who was standing on a soapbox in Hyde Park Corner, and he was denouncing and ridiculing Christianity. He said, you know, people tell me there's a God. But where is he? I can't see him. But just then a man stumbled to the front. And he said, I want to say something. He said, people tell me that the grass beneath my feet is green. But I can't see it. And people tell me that the sky above is blue, but I can't see it. People tell me that all around there are beautiful trees, but I can't see them. You see, my problem is this. I'm blind. Well, just as a blind man can't see that which is physical, so those who are spiritually blind can't see that which is spiritual. They can't see. They can't understand spiritual truth. They can't appreciate the reality of spiritual things. Paul says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. But you know, the natural man is not only spiritually blind, he's also spiritually poor. He's spiritually bankrupt. I remember reading the story of a Christian doctor. This was in the days before the National Health Service came into being, and many of his patients were very poor and they couldn't afford to pay for the treatment they received. And this doctor had a little book, and in this book he recorded the names of his patients and the amount of money that they owed him. But against the names of his poorest patients, he used to cross out the amount owing, and he would write the words, forgiven, too poor to pay. Forgiven, too poor to pay. Well, you know, where salvation is concerned, we're all too poor to pay. There's absolutely nothing we can do to merit God's favour or to earn God's forgiveness. Because by nature, we are not only spiritually blind, we're also spiritually bankrupt. We're spiritually poverty-stricken. We are all too poor to pay. But then moving on in the account, we read that as Bartimaeus sat by the roadside begging, he was conscious that a great crowd was approaching. He could hear the noise, and so he inquired what was happening. And he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And so what did Bartimaeus do? Well, we read verse 38. He cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him, that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, clearly Bartimaeus had already heard about Jesus. And he clearly believed what he'd heard. He really believed that Jesus could heal the sick and give sight to the blind. And he really believed that Jesus could do that for him. But at the same time, he recognized that if the Lord were to heal him, then it would be on the grounds of mercy, not merit. And so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now when the crowd heard him, they were rather embarrassed. And they told him to be quiet. They told him not to disturb the Lord Jesus. But Bartimaeus shouted all the more. He shouted, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what happened? Well, we read these quite remarkable words. Some of the most remarkable words in the whole of Scripture. We read verse 40. Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus, a poor blind beggar. Was Jesus concerned about such a person? Well, the very moment he cried out, we read that Jesus stood still. Now remember, as we've already seen, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and his mind must have been preoccupied with the awful suffering he was about to endure. And yet the very moment this poor blind beggar called out, Jesus stopped. He stood still. And then he ordered that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And then he asked Bartimaeus a question. He said, What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Well, as we look at Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus, I believe there are several lessons we can learn from his example, especially lessons relating to prayer. And the first thing we see here is this, that Bartimaeus' cry, it was very specific. Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And you know, we too need to be specific in our praying. I think sometimes we can be so vague in our praying, it's almost impossible to know whether the prayer has been answered or whether it hasn't. We need to be specific in what we ask for. For example, instead of just praying, Lord bless our church, we need to pray for individuals in the church. We need to pray for their particular needs. We need to pray for the church officers. We need to pray for the different ministries and activities of the church. We need to be specific in our praying. And then too, his cry was not only specific, it was also passionate. It really came from the heart. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was a prayer that came from the very depths of his being. Well, perhaps sometimes our prayers can be rather cold. They can be rather lacking in fervour and passion. Perhaps sometimes when we pray, we're just saying words. We're just repeating religious phrases. But true prayer comes from the heart. It's earnest, it's fervent, it's passionate. You remember those words of James in his epistle. James says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. His cry was specific, his cry was passionate, and then notice too, it was also persistent. Because even when the crowd told him to be quiet, he refused to shut up. He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know, we too need to be persistent in prayer. Perhaps sometimes we become discouraged in prayer. And the devil tries to convince us that prayer is a waste of time. It doesn't achieve anything. Or perhaps sometimes we almost feel too tired or too busy to pray. But friends, we must keep on praying. We must never give up. Indeed, in the very first verse of this chapter, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we read these words, "Jesus spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." I wonder this morning, is there someone here? And where prayer is concerned, you've begun to lose heart. Jesus says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And so it was Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. His cry was specific, it was passionate, it was persistent. And what happened? Well, moving on, we read verse 42. Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. Bartimaeus cried out. The Lord Jesus stopped. His cry was heard. And the Lord Jesus had mercy. And immediately this tremendous miracle took place. Bartimaeus received his sight. Well, can I suggest that what we have here, it's really a lovely picture of salvation. It's an illustration of how a person becomes a Christian. We see, first of all, that Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. He said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Well, we too, each one of us, we all need mercy. Salvation is not something we can earn or merit or deserve. Indeed, if God were to give us what we deserved, then we'd all be condemned forever. We'd be condemned to eternal death, because the wages of sin is death, and that's what we all deserve. But God is merciful, and we need to cry out to him for mercy. And then secondly, we see that Bartimaeus acknowledged his need. He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." He acknowledged his desperate need. And we too must do the same. We must acknowledge that in God's sight, we are spiritually blind, we're spiritually poor, we're under the wrath of God, we are powerless to save ourselves. Like Bartimaeus, we too must acknowledge our need. And then thirdly, like Bartimaeus, in simple faith, we must call on the name of the Lord. Bartimaeus called out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He called on the name of the Lord. And we must do the same. We must call on the name of the Lord. We must ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us our sins. We must ask him to be our Saviour. And you know, the Bible gives a wonderful promise to all who in simple faith call on the name of the Lord. We read in Romans 10 verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I wonder this morning, have you done that? Have you come to Christ? Have you acknowledged your need? Have you called upon his name? Have you said like Bartimaeus, Lord, have mercy on me? And then as we draw to a close, let's notice two other things very quickly. We read there in verse 43 that Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus. He received his sight and followed Jesus. And that was really the proof, that was the evidence that a miracle had taken place. Bartimaeus now needed no one to lead him or guide him. Bartimaeus could see for himself, and he followed Jesus. In other words, he began to move in a different direction. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to obey Jesus. He received his sight and he followed Jesus. And you know, friends, the proof, the evidence that we are saved is not that we answered an appeal at some great evangelistic rally or we put our hand up at the close of a meeting. No, the evidence that a man is saved is that he now follows Jesus. He seeks to live his life in submission to God's will. He seeks to obey God's word. That's the proof, that's the evidence that a person is saved. They've been turned round and they're now moving in a different direction. Instead of going their own way, they are now going God's way. They are now following Jesus. You remember those words of Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And the Apostle John says in his first epistle, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see, obedience is the evidence of a saving faith in Christ. And if a man claims to be a Christian and yet has no desire to follow Jesus, no desire to obey Jesus, then really that man ought to seriously question the reality of his Christian profession. Because obedience, following Christ, that's always the evidence, the proof of a true and saving faith. And then finally, let's just notice something else. We are told that Bartimaeus received his sight. He followed Jesus, glorifying God. He followed Jesus, glorifying God. You see, Bartimaeus recognized that his healing was God's doing, not his. And therefore all the praise and all the glory must go to God and to God alone. This was God's doing, not man's doing. And God must be given all the praise and all the glory. And you know, the same is true of our salvation. Our salvation from start to finish is God's doing. And therefore all the praise And all the glory must go to God and to God alone. You see, if we could save ourselves, if we could get to heaven by our good works or by coming to church or by saying our prayers, then all the praise and all the glory would go to us. This is what I've done. This is what I've achieved. By my own efforts, I've made it to heaven. Oh, we'd have so much to boast about. All the praise and all the glory would go to us. But of course, we've nothing to boast about. Nothing at all. Because our salvation is all of grace. Paul says in those well-known words in Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And because salvation is God's gift to undeserving sinners, then all the praise and all the glory and all the honour must go to God and to God alone. The hymn writer says, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Bartimaeus followed Jesus, glorifying God. I trust that the same may be said of you and me. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the great love that you had for Bartimaeus. We thank you that our Saviour stopped, our Saviour stood still when he heard the desperate cry of that blind man. And Father, we thank you that when we cry out to you in need, you as it were, stop, you stand still, you listen to our cry. And most of all, dear Father, you hear our cry when we call out to you for salvation. And Father, we just pray if there be any here this morning who have never cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. Father, we pray that you might so work in their hearts by your Spirit, that you might bring them to that place of repentance, that place of faith and trust in Christ. We ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.